The rock was a sort of double lump, looking not unlike a male otter standing on his hind paws with a female otter sitting at his side. Long ago, some clever creature had carved the details of the otter's faces into the stone, giving them a very lifelike appearance. The four friends made night camp at the base of the figures on the woodland side. Tinder and Flint kindled a small fire. Tarquin, taking his turn as cook, decided on candied dried plums, sweet chestnut scones, and dandelion cordial. They sat around the bright flames, which provided an island of golden light against the gloomy vault of the forest in front of them. Dandin recited the next stanza of the rhyme, which provided guide rules for their quest.
Seek out the otter and his wife. Forsake the path, go westland's way. Find the trail and lose your life. When in the woods, this promise keep. With senses sharp and open eyes, my nose shall not send me to sleep, for buried ones will surely rise.
Duddy Quill's eyes were drooping. He was beginning to nod.
And frogs will fly on Mayday morn, while fishes sing aloud at dawn. I can't make top nor tail of it. It all sounds like nonsense to a poor lad who's been hypnotised by a serpent.
Marielle stirred the fire with a green twig.
It may sound like gobbledygook, but it's proved true so far, Durry. We'll just have to wait until it's light and find out for ourselves, I suppose. What do you say, Tarquin?
The hare nibbled on a candied plum reflectively.
Don't know, really, old girl. You see, I've never patrolled this far up north. Strange country, very strange. Take these woodlands west of the path. They're not even mapped, you know. I'm not sure they're even part of Mossflower.
Dandin hunched closer to the fire.
I'm certain they're not. They don't have that comfortable, homey feeling you always get in Mossflower Woods. This area looks wilder, more grim, hostile somehow. But as you say, Marielle, we'll find out for ourselves tomorrow. I take it we have this statue of the otter and his wife to use as a bearing point and strike out west from it.
Duddy Quill was not listening. He was lying on his back with all four paws in the air, making the most uproarious noise. Tarquin sniffed.
Listen to the beast, snoring like a flippin' hog, just as I was going to play a few tunes on me hare leader to cheer us up.
Marielle lay down, using her haversack as a pillow.
Oh, please! It's bad enough having a snoring hedgehog without the addition of a caterwauling hare singing lovelorn ditties. Well, let's all go to sleep while we have the chance of a full night's rest.
Dandin and Marielle soon joined Duddy in slumber. Tarquin still sat up, a little sulky as he fondled his unplayed Herolina.
Caterwauling indeed. Shows how much mice know about music. Now if Hon Rosie were here, I'll bet she wouldn't object to a chap having the odd plunk on the jolly old Herolina. Ah, well.
He fell asleep, humming and serenading himself quietly.
Air beyond compare, so spiffin and so fair, a rosy, rosy dear, my honey hun. I wouldn't swap your affections for a heap of confections, not for blackberry pie, oh my, oh my. October ale would surely fail, summer salad couldn't stop my ballad, hazelnut pudding it just tastes wooden, as for cheese on toast it'd make me weep. Feel so hungry, Rosie, I'd better go to sleep.
Overcome by weariness, the travellers slept at the fringe of the darkened forest, whilst on the path, the stone figures of the otter and his wife stood like eternal sentinels in the silent watches of the night. Out at sea, a shroud like fog had dropped, completely lost without bearings by the stars or the sight of landmarks. Orgai abandoned the helm of the wave blade, which had been sailing a southern course until the fog descended. He posted two sea rats with weighted ropes to test overboard for shallows and reefs, cursing Gabool for his uncontrollable mad temper, which had driven them into this unknown position, Hawkeye went below to his bunk to await the coming of dawn. Hidden in Mossflower Woods, a mere stone's throw from Redwall Abbey, Greypatch and his crew also awaited the arrival of dawn. Pacing his bedchamber in Salamandaston's mountain, Lord Rawnblade Widestripe awaited yet another dawn, knowing that each fresh day brought his time of encounter with the sea rats a little closer. Wandering the empty halls of Fort Bladegate on Terramort Isle, Gabool the Wild awaited a dawn that would dispel his nightmares of ringing bells, badgers and avenging mice. In fact, there were many different creatures in diverse parts, each waiting to see what the new day might bring. Adventure, danger, victory, defeat, peace of mind, or death.